And remember, he is good. He works all things together, so much better than we could. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember, he is good. God is good, he is good. In every way, he's good. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember, he is good. He works all things together, so much better than we could. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember, he is good. We call him Jehovah Jireh. He always provides. We call him Jehovah Rapha. We're healed by his stripes. He will be faithful forever. His love never ends. He never changes. It's just who he is. God is good. He is good. In every way he's good. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good. He works all things together, so much better than we could. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good. We call him Jehovah Jireh. He always provides. We call him Jehovah Rapha. We're healed by his stripes. He will be faithful forever. His love never ends. He never changes. It's just who he is. The same God who stood in the fire, same God who tore the walls down, same God who parted the waters, here right now, here right now. He's got the power to free us. He's got the power to save. My God can make a dead man live. Pull him out of the grave. God is good. He is good. In every way he's good. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good. He works all things together, so much better than we could. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good. God is good, he is good. In every way he's good. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good. He works all things together, so much better than we could. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven and remember he is good.
Let's go around, shake hands, greet one another this morning. I don't know if Travis has been making you guys stand up during offering or announcements, but if you guys want to, you can sit down. But I should maybe start making you guys do that, actually. Well, yeah, Mom, hang on. If it is your first, sorry, if it is your first time here, go ahead, take one of these connections cards, fill them out. Thank you for being here. I actually need to fill one out because I feel like I haven't been here so long. Maybe update my personal information, but thank you again for being here. If it is your first time, yeah, thanks for being here. So, in a way of announcements, we have teacher baskets. My mom just, like, gave me the stink eye because I brought, I think this is hers, because at the house we have Mountain Dew. I don't know these Belvitas, but we've usually in the past done baskets, but what we're doing this year is giving them a smaller gift. So what you want to do if you want to help out with this is get yourself a soda or some kind of smaller beverage and a snack, and they're going to, you know, put this nice little twine around it, maybe write a note, say it's from Brimley Baptist Church, drop them off at the schools. Now, I was talking to Mom last night. I said, Mom, you know, Miss Cox, she's my third grade teacher. I said, how long do you think she's a teacher for? And she texted me back, oh, well, I'm going to text her unless you want to text her. I'm not texting my third grade teacher. It's kind of weird. But she goes, yeah, she was a teacher for 30 years, okay? That's a long time. I'm not even 30 years old. My mom's not even 30 years old. she was a teacher for 30 years. And she decided to retire right after she taught me. And so I don't know what that's telling you, but the teachers in the community, they put up with a lot, and they're a big deal. So this is just a small way as the school year starts that we can show them that we appreciate them. So if you want to find, you know, your grocery shopping, pick up some soft drinks and snacks and drop them off by the 30th. Okay, so that's an announcement. The tea and lock-in, it's also coming up here pretty soon, maybe the next 2 weeks. Next week, Friday, holy cow, so like 5 days from now, all right, and that's going all night, okay, through to Saturday, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., all right? It's not too late to register. I'm sure they're fine with you showing up, but they really strongly suggest that you register, and I'm sure they could also use some help. So you can see Mike and Samantha, they're over here. They can raise their hand if they want, but I'm sure everybody knows them. They're right there. Excellent, thank you. So, yeah. That's coming up if you're a teen. Yep, and with that being said, remember, as the ushers come forward, that if you want to streamline your giving, Tidely is a great way to do that. So with that being said, I've asked Travis if he would pray for the offering.
Go and stand with us as we continue worshiping this morning.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me, Lord.
Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Psalms 100, 1 and 2.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven, you came and set me free, that's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven, you came to set me free, that's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day. Child of God. surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Him this morning. Father, we just thank you so much, Father, that Lord, we have a good shepherd. We have a great shepherd that knows the needs of his flock, that knows everything, Lord God. I think about the song that we sung, there's coming a day. There's coming a day where you will lead us, where you will welcome us into your presence, Lord God, in heaven, Lord. And what a wonderful day that will be, Lord, when Jesus, we shall see the one that we talk about, the one that we sing about, the one that we pray to, Lord. That will be a wonderful day. And Lord God, I thank you for that promise. I thank you for that hope, Lord, but I also thank you that it's all because of you and not because of us. Lord, any one of us in this room that will ever see your face, Lord God, and be welcomed into heaven is because we've received the wonderful testimony that Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us. Lord, I pray that that would be a reminder to us, Lord God, to bear about in ourselves, Lord, the gospel message wherever we go, of a Savior that loves us so. Lord God, I pray that you would be glorified and magnified today in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you can open your Bibles. We're finally going to finish Matthew chapter number 9. I think we had 4 weeks in this chapter. I think four, maybe five. No, it was four. And so Matthew chapter 9, while you're turning there, did anybody get the sense that Bo was trying to get some brownie points with his mom this morning? I definitely was feeling that when he said that she's not 30 yet. And I was like, her birthday's coming up, so maybe that's what it is. So, but, you know, I am grateful that my son is back home and the Lord brought him back safely. And so praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 9. And the title today is Eyes Like Jesus. Eyes Like Jesus. You know, when you look at the people around you every day, what do you see? When you look at people around you, what do you see? We often see people's outward needs, but Jesus saw their greatest need, the condition of their soul. If we're going to have eyes like Jesus, we must learn to see people the way that Jesus saw them. See, Jesus saw people worn down by sin, scattered without direction, living without truth, and dying without hope. In that moment that we're going to be looking at in the text today, he saw a harvest of souls that were ready, but he also saw a shortage of people who cared enough to go. So he turns not to the crowd of people that he saw, not to the harvest, but he turns to the followers, and he says to the followers, those who are following Jesus, he turns to them and he says, the laborers are few. The laborers are few. In other words, the problem isn't out there. The problem is in here. See, we are surrounded by people who need the gospel. And yet few are actually willing to go and share it with a lost and dying world. This is the context of the scriptures as Jesus bears his heart before us today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us eyes like Jesus and a heart for the lost. Let's ask him to show us someone, maybe that's a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a family member who needs the hope of the gospel. And then ask him to give us the courage to go to them and share Christ with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to jump into this message today. Father, we come to you today and I thank you for revealing through the word of God the heart of your son. Lord, not only was he willing to come to this world to die so that we might have life everlasting, Lord, because of our faith in him, Lord God. But today we see the heart of Jesus broken for the people, seeing their greatest need. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would have eyes to see like Jesus. I pray that we would have the mind and the heart of Jesus as we look at the text today. I pray that what Jesus was burdened for first and foremost would be the same thing that the people of Brimley Baptist Church are burdened for, the things that burden Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would move in our hearts through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to see today and be willing to go today, Lord God. We ask and pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Write it down, number one, if you're taking notes, see the condition of the people. See the condition of the people. Look at verse number 36. Now, mind you, if we were to walk back through chapter 9, it's the palsy man, and there's a great multitude outside of the door, so much that they had to break up the roof to drop down the palsy man to be able to be healed. Remember, when Jesus first encountered the palsy man, he didn't pay attention to his physical condition. He paid attention to his spiritual condition, and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Paying attention to the spiritual, having eyes to see their greatest need. And then from there he goes on, and multitudes after multitudes continued to follow him, and he healed person after person after person after person. And now the Bible would tell us that in verse 35, a great multitude, he went about every town and city healing many people, and great multitudes followed him. And you would say, what did he see when he saw them? Verse 36 tells us, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Compassion like a mother for a child that can't tend to themselves, that can't take care of themselves, that are completely hopeless. That's the heart behind Jesus being moved with compassion. He saw that these people were completely hopeless and helpless, and he had compassion for them when no one else would. It says that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, the first thing that Jesus here sees is he sees a people that is spiritually exhausted. A people that are spiritually exhausted. They fainted. They were empty and they were worn out. They were searching for something, but empty. They fainted. Remember where our strength comes from. Our strength cometh from the Lord. But these people, they were empty. They were worn out. Jesus is not talking here like he was talking about in times to come where he saw the multitude that they physically fainted because they had followed him for 3 days. This is Jesus talking that he's seeing their spiritual condition on the inside. He saw their spiritual anemia. He saw their greatest need. They're spiritually exhausted, but then notice they're spiritually scattered. Notice the phrase, as sheep having no what? Shepherd. As sheep having no shepherd. He was grieved because he knew sheep without a shepherd are an easy target for the wolves. A shepherd protects the flock from harm, and Jesus saw they had no shepherd. They had no direction. Remember, it's the shepherd in Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Hey, get this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You know the only way that you will ever find the path of righteousness is if you're following Jesus. Hey, they're wandering. They're lost. They have no direction. They have no protection. They have no truth. They're scattered about, but they're also not just spiritually exhausted, spiritually scattered, they're spiritually lost. They're spiritually lost. You know, Isaiah 53, 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Hence the reason Jesus died on the cross for us, and he hath laid on him the iniquities of us all because we were unwilling to allow the shepherd to lead us. Our sins were placed upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. See, Jesus saw that they were lost because, they weren't lost because they had no shepherd. Jesus was there. He was the shepherd. He's always been the great shepherd. He was the shepherd in Psalms 23. He's still that great shepherd today. And they weren't lost because they had no shepherd. They were lost because they refused to follow him. The moment a sheep decides it knows better than the shepherd, it leaves the path, and that's what sin does. We stop following his way and start following our own way, and we don't lose our way because God failed to lead us. We lose our way because we choose our way over his way. When a sheep says, hey, I don't need to follow the path of the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, that's when every single one of us in this room goes astray. We see the condition of the people. They were spiritually exhausted, scattered, and lost. The truth is, sheep without a shepherd are easy prey, unable to find their way, and destined to wander. Remember, it's the Lord who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. It's he who knows the path forward, not we ourselves. We forget that sometimes. Remember, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Look to him. Look for his footsteps, because he's not behind us driving us. He's in front of us leading us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he looked on these people, and I love it that he didn't see. He saw a group of people hurting, but he wasn't frustrated. He was filled with compassion. He saw their need. Remember, eyes like Jesus. Eyes like Jesus see the condition of the people, but notice number two, feel the compassion of the Savior. Feel the compassion of the Savior. In verse 36, he was moved with compassion when he saw their need. I'm sure he could have nitpicked and saw every sinful flaw that they had, but he looked on them and he saw them and he was moved. I want you to notice the word moved. It did something in him. He saw their greatest need. He was moved with compassion. See, Jesus saw beyond the surface. Jesus didn't see just the crowd. He saw their need. See, 1 Timothy 1:15 would say this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. That shows you that he saw our deepest, greatest need. What Jesus saw affected what Jesus felt, and what Jesus felt moved him to action. It moved him from heaven to earth. And when a person has eyes like Jesus and they see the people and are moved with compassion, hey, something happens. It's not like, oh, I hope. Yeah, I hope they hear about Jesus. I hope that they can work out their problems. But, you know, I'm not really willing to do anything about it. You know, what Jesus saw affected him. When we have eyes like Jesus, what we see will affect us. Lamentations 3:51 says, My eye, Jeremiah says, affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. He saw the ruin of Jerusalem. He saw the wastedness of Jerusalem. He was burdened and broken by what he saw. Are we burdened and broken like Jesus? Do we care about the souls of men, or is it just coming to church and checking the box and going about our way? See, when we have eyes like Jesus, we see people differently. Jesus was moved with compassion because he cared about their soul and where they would spend eternity. Do we care whether our neighbor or our coworker or our family member goes to heaven or hell? If we truly care, we won't just say it. We'll do something about it. We'll go and share the gospel message. We need churches that aren't just filled with people willing to serve. We need churches filled with people who are willing to go and to open their mouth, because the greatest need is not more Sunday school teachers. It's not more connections workers. It's more gospel witnesses for the kingdom, because that is the primary thing. And everything that we should do should flow through that to accomplish God's main will for us. Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching and teaching the gospel. If we're teaching a Sunday school class, if we're greeting at the back door, if we're watching a baby in the nursery, hey, we're doing it for the express purpose that the gospel would get out. Because the realization, when you realize, hey, that family member that you're unclear about, hey, if they don't know Jesus, their destination is to be eternally separated from God in hell. If that doesn't move you, if that doesn't make us look past people's flaws, people's shortcomings, of course people are going to be flawed. Of course people are going to be sinful in nature. How can we be except Jesus be in us? And it's easy for us to become frustrated as opposed to becoming, man, seeing their soul. Many of the people Jesus saw had physical needs. You know, he probably saw the guy begging on the corner. He probably saw the guy, with the health needs. He did, in fact, see them all. But you know, what he saw and what he addressed first and foremost was their soul. Was their soul. A caring about the souls of man. You know, next we see he's the true shepherd. You know, a good shepherd cares, leads, and protects the flock. And it's interesting here because Jesus does not drive the flock. He leads the flock. See, you in here have a choice. And I always tell people when they're going through a difficult time and they have that valley of the shadow of death, I remind them of the great shepherd. But here's the catch. The only way he can lead you is if you're willing to follow him. And the Lord is my shepherd is a personal statement of you saying, I have made him my shepherd. I will follow him wherever that may lead me. It's not just a guarantee that he'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death if you're not following him. That's why many people get lost in that valley. That's why many people go astray trying to find righteousness because they're not following Jesus. He was grieved because they had no one guiding them. You know, but Jesus didn't just feel compassion for them. He took action to regather them. He took action as a good shepherd all my sheep hear my voice. And they what? They know me. He went about to regather them. Jesus didn't just notice the people. He was moved by their needs for him, by their need for him. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. See, Jesus brought the truth. Jesus brought the truth to them. We see the condition of the people. We feel the compassion, of the Savior. But number three, answer the call to the harvest. Answer the call to the harvest. Look at verse number 37. Then saith he unto his disciples. Remember, the problem's not out there. The problem's in here. We're following Jesus. We're professing to follow Jesus. He's saying to them, his disciples, then. He's saying to us, his disciples, now. He turns to them. And he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. He's saying, the harvest is ready. Man, it is ripe. Hey, don't delay. But the laborers, the problem, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his field. He's not talking about necessarily needing more workers per se. He's talking about the main focus of people, laborers, who are willing to get out the gospel message. This is what it's talking about. The need is great, he says. The harvest is ready now. Notice the words, the harvest is ready now. John 4:35 says, the fields are already white. The crop is already ready to be harvested. In John 4:35 and 36, it says, say not, hey, we have time. I could tell my neighbor about Jesus tomorrow. I could tell my family member about Jesus tomorrow. He says, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. And then, hey, I can do it tomorrow. I'll never forget the day God, as a younger Christian, began to work on my heart and say, hey, I want you to share the gospel with this coworker. And I'll never forget this because the Holy Spirit was hard on me. The fellow was about 25, and I remember God being hard at me. Hey, tell this person, and I'll get to it tomorrow, Lord. And I pushed it off for about a week and a half. And then finally, when I was good and ready, right? God had been pushing me. I came to work that day, and I was like, hey, where's so-and-so? My boss said, he died yesterday night. And you know what? Shame on me. The fields are white unto harvest. Hey, don't say tomorrow. Because you know what you and me are doing? We're taking the place of God and saying, we know how long they're going to live. We know, hey, we know we have time. Age does not determine our time. Our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, you, to me, he says, lift up your eyes. Hey, see what I see, guys. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the followers of Christ. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Look on the fields. Look on the fields, he says, for they are white already unto harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. See, Jesus reminds us the harvest is ready right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Only a fool says, hey, I'll get to it tomorrow, because you know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says in James, if we say the Lord will, then maybe tomorrow. But Jesus not only tells them the harvest is ready now, Jesus also makes it clear that anyone who works in his field receiveth wages. There is great blessing and benefits for being laborers for the Lord, having eyes for the Lord, having a heart and hands to follow after the Lord in the work that he commissions us to do. Jesus also mentions there will be rejoicing. There is great joy in heaven over one sinner who is saved. You know, when he says, hey, they're going to come, and they're going to come rejoicing with joy. I tell you what, if you've never shared the gospel with anybody, if you've never seen someone come to Jesus Christ hearing the word only by faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, if you've never experienced that, hey, I can tell you that you are missing out on one of the greatest joys in this life. Hey, if the heavens and if the angels in heaven rejoice, Jesus said, truly the harvest is plenteous. This statement, and I want you to think about this. Truly the harvest is plenteous. This statement ensures that those that reap the harvest will bring in the reward. You know, surely as we look upon the fields here in our area and we see a different crops being produced, yes, there are bad spots where no crops are going to grow up. Yes, there are small portions, but you know, in that field over there, when that hay is harvested, guess what? There is coming a reward. There is coming a harvest. And you know, one reason many Christians, they'll use the excuse, well, maybe they don't want to hear it. No, Scripture tells us there's a harvest. It just needs somebody to go out there and reap it. Yeah, people are going to reject some. But you know what? Hey, it's our job to go out and to reap the harvest. Jesus tells us the harvest is great. It's ready. It's ready. I love what Psalms 126 says in verse 5. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, notice that word. It's not a maybe. It's doubtless shall come again. Shall come again with what? Sorrow? No, shall come again with rejoicing. Hey, when you get to heaven and you see the people that you shared the gospel with standing next to you, who maybe you would have not shared the gospel with before. We understand we can only plant and we can only water. It's God that giveth the increase. But nonetheless, we are called to plant and to water. The need is great. But notice the problem is very, very clear. Jesus doesn't mince words here. He doesn't pull punches here. He says, matter of fact, here's the problem. The laborers are few. You know, last time I checked in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's not a lack of opportunity, he says. It's not that the fields aren't ready. It's not that the timing is not right. It's not a lack of opportunity. It's simply a lack of workers. The harvest is ready, the fruit is ripe, but there are so few people willing to go harvest the crop. The harvest of lost souls is great, but the laborers willing to go and share the gospel are few, he says. And the command is very direct. Pray, he says in verse 38. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers who care about the souls of men. And I want you to think about that. He's not just saying, hey, God, send anybody. Because in order for that prayer to be fulfilled, you know what they have to have? They have to have eyes to see people the way Jesus sees people. They have to be burdened for their lost. They have to be burdened for their family. They have to be burdened for their coworkers. It's literally, Jesus is saying, pray that people would be burdened for those that are literally dying and going to hell, that someone would care for their soul enough to say, hey, can I tell you about how much Jesus loves you? Without fear of whatever sometimes fear, it tries to grip us and hinder us from accomplishing or doing what the Lord wants us to do. He says, pray. But then he says, lift up your eyes. You know, so often we're just walking around like this and we miss the fields. We miss the people. Remember, my eye doth affect my heart, Job said. Looking, see, lift up your eyes, see the people, go. Go. Be willing to go and share the gospel, but notice the warning for today. The warning. So if the laborers are so few, why? You ever think about that? Why? You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 21 would tell us why there aren't more laborers in the Lord's field. You know, we can get so caught up in our own agendas, in our own jobs, in our own careers, in our own families, in our own desires, and in our own hobbies and everything that we completely lose sight of what's most important to the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, but I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy as shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort, that it also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul, worried about the church. He says this, though. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And then here's the indictment upon us. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul burdened for God's people, looking for a man. And praise the Lord, he had a man, a Timothy, who cared enough to do whatever was necessary, to travel however far, to be able to see and to minister to the people of the gospel. Men have become so focused on their own fields, they have forgotten about the master's field. And the greatest work that needs to be done is the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. That is the greatest work that needs to be done to get out that message. This is an indictment laid upon us today. This is why the laborers are so few. Because no man seek the Lord, for all men seek their own things. You know, the challenge is, Lord, help us to be a people here at this church that say, hey, I'm going to put what's first and foremost to God. Think about this. What if nobody put a priority on telling you the gospel? What if nobody made it an emphasis to either preach the gospel or to knock on your door and share the gospel? What if someone didn't care about your soul? We want someone to care about our soul. We want to know where we're going when we die. But what about your neighbor? Do you think they not want to? And you know, you won't know until you go and share it with them. You know, the mission defined, it's very clear. The field is the world. The harvest is the people. The laborers, who's the laborers? It's not just anybody. The laborers are the believers. You are the laborers. A person cannot go out and share the gospel that has not heard the gospel, that does not know the gospel, that has not received the gospel. So whose responsibility is it? It's ours. He turned to his disciples and said, the laborers are few. The field, the world, the harvest, the people, the laborers, the believers, the labor. What's the work? What's the work Jesus is talking about here? He is simply talking about the work that's preaching the gospel, that's communicating the gospel. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to preach the gospel. I don't know how to communicate the gospel. Listen, don't overthink it. Keep it simple. How did you come to know Jesus as your Savior? If I were to ask you right now, hey, tell me your testimony about Jeff when you came to know Jesus as your Savior. You know, I think about the woman at the well. She went back and she told everybody. What did she tell everybody? The little bit that she knew about Jesus. And the Bible says, you know what? The whole city came behind her. All the men of the city came behind her and said, hey, man, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. We overthink it. We make all kind of excuses. The gospel, man, Jesus makes it simple for us. Tell people what God has done in your life. Remember the chapter 8, the Gadarean man. Jesus said, go back and tell everybody what great things Jesus did for you. And the mission is go and preach. It's not just the pastor's job here. It's all of our jobs. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't just pray for laborers. Be one. Don't just pray, you know, and here's the thing. You're going to have a hard time getting on your hands and knees, and I know this from experience, and praying, Lord, send laborers, people who care about the souls of men, to this place, and God not convict you and say, what about you? You can't do it. I promise you. And that's the challenge. He is telling us what to do here. He's saying, I want you to go home and I want you to pray that God would burden people, laborers, to come into his field that have a true, genuine care for the souls of men. That's Jesus' focus. When he came to Peter, he says he was fishing. Jesus said to Peter, he said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus' whole life, these 33 years that he lived on this earth, the 3 years of his ministry showed one purpose, to win the souls of men. You know, the first step of serving like Jesus is remember, see what others miss. We just had this leadership development a couple weeks ago, talking about serving. You know, one of the things that he said is see what others miss. Leaders see what others miss, and I think about this. Most Christians are focused on their own lives and what they have going on, that they completely miss the spiritual needs of the person right in front of them. You know, I pray that we as a church would be like the psalmist in Psalms chapter 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the word. You want to know the rest of the verse? And great was the company, or great was the multitude that published it. You know, hey, we're hearing the word, and great. You think about all the people that come through the doors on a Sunday morning. If we all went out and had a purpose to go out and actually share the gospel, care about the souls of people, just imagine the impact it would have on this place. The greatest need today is not fewer church workers, it's more gospel laborers. Every ministry matters and every place of service has value, but above all, Jesus is calling us to step into the harvest, to care about the souls of men and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as we look to a few applications before we wrap up, you know, the first thing is examine yourself. Examine yourself. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? And I want you to be honest with yourself. And yes, it may be an indictment upon yourself, and it might be you saying, you know, I just shared the gospel this past week with somebody. But when was the last time that you told somebody about Jesus? I want you to answer that question. Don't ignore it. I want you to get that in your mind. When was that? When was the last time you told somebody that Jesus literally loved them so much that he came to this earth to save them? See, the hearing isn't up to you and me. The communicating is. What they do with the message, just like today, what you do with this message, you have to give an account for, not me. I have to give an account for what I do with this message. You have to give an account for what you do with this message. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Have you ever personally led someone to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you ever personally led someone to hear? It's not about whether they get saved right then and there. That's not up to you. We water, we plant, God gives the what? Increase. But when was the last time that you led someone, where you had a conversation with someone that was spiritually directed towards their soul being saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, the challenge this week is, pray for God to send people who have a burden for the souls of men. This is for you. This is what he's telling us. So I want you to write this down. This is one thing. If you didn't write down anything else, get out your phone, type it out. I want you to go home this week, and I want you to do what he tells us to do. He says, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, the one who is over the harvest, that he would send laborers into this field. I want each one of us to go home this week and pray for God to send people who have a burden for the souls of men to this place. Next, pray that God would give you a burden for the souls of men. You know what? I get it that we may not have burdens for the souls of men. There have been times throughout my Christian life where my heart has gotten hard and I have not had eyes like Jesus. We're still in this flesh, and we need to say continually, Lord, help me to see like you. Help me to have eyes like you. And then pray and ask God to help you see the harvest of lost people right before you. I want you to pray these things. Pray these things. These three things this week. God, help me to see the harvest right in front of me. Lord, help me to see the coworker. Help me to see the family member. And maybe right now as you are preaching, as the word of God is being spoken, there is somebody on your heart right now where you know the Holy Spirit is like, this is the person that you need to be talking to. I know the Holy Spirit is working. I know he's highlighted. And then I want you to go to them and share with them the gospel of Jesus. Remember this. Remember this as we close. When we labor in his field, think about this. He's the Lord of the harvest. All ye that are, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, one of the greatest things about being in the field laboring is that we're with Jesus laboring in his field. That's a privilege. That we could be yoked up. We have no right. He does not need us. But yet he gives us the privilege. And he's saying, hey, come work with me. Hey, come labor in my field with me. And then, remember this. He rewards his laborers really well. You see, you're not supposed to do it for the reward. Hey, that's not what it's about. It's a matter of fact, Jesus says, that I reward my laborers well. Those who go into the field of the Lord are blessed above measure. Those who labor with the Savior reap the wages, the wonderful. You know, when I think about Paul, he says, are not even ye my crown? Someday, talking about the lost as he gets to heaven, the crowns of the people that he has shared the gospel with. We understand Paul couldn't save anybody, but he sure did save. God used him to share the gospel and to reap a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. But you know, the last thing to be reminded of is when you labor for the Lord in his field, there is great joy in rejoicing in the harvest. You know, our joy gets changed from, oh, man, I got this new car. I got this new truck. I got this new house. I got this new thing or this or that, this job. And you know what? Your joy is rightfully placed, and you get so excited about people coming to Jesus. And let me tell you something. It's a joy that this world just can't compete with. But you won't know it until you experience it. You know, and I think about, that's why Proverbs says in Proverbs 11:30, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, to the Christian in here that hears this message and is burdened by the words of Christ and says, man, give me eyes to see like that. Give me the compassion to love people like that. To those that will take this to heart and say, Lord, I'm not where I need to be, but Lord, I want to be closer to you. He says, that's a wise person that's willing to go out and labor in my field. He that winneth souls is wise. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You know, as my wife plays the piano, Jesus cared about your soul. He cared about your soul enough that at some point in time, he sent someone, a pastor, a friend, a family member, to come to you to make themselves uncomfortable, to share the gospel with you that you would be saved by your faith in Jesus Christ alone. And I pray and hope that everybody in here knows Jesus as their Savior. Maybe there's one that doesn't know Jesus today. Maybe you know religion. Maybe you know about Jesus, but maybe you've never received the gift of Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ and called upon him for your salvation today, Jesus is saying, if you believe on me, that I died for your sins, that I took your place on the cross, that I was buried in a tomb, and that I gloriously rose from the dead by the power of God to save you from your sins. If you're willing to believe that right now, Jesus would say to you, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Basically, pray to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I need you, and I know that I'm a sinner. I see your love for me as you died on the cross. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord Jesus, save me. This is why he came from heaven to earth. But you know, I wonder how many people in this room already have done that, already have put their faith in Jesus, but you have not been witnessing. You have not been laboring in the field of the Lord. You can't remember the last time you shared the gospel. You know, today, it's never too late. The greatest of Christians in here will hear this message and say, Lord, help me. Lord, there's someone you placed on my heart. Lord, help me to go share with them the message. Lord, help me to labor in your field. Lord, help me to work side by side with you. Lord, give me eyes to see like you see. Lord, help me to have compassion on this broken world, realizing that there's no hope for sin without you. A leper cannot change his spots. Only the Lord can make a crooked thing straight. Only the Lord. And this world needs to be made straight, and it's not going to be made straight by anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ and receiving Him and His truth. And we need to be a church that goes out and shares with this world Jesus. Let's pray as the worship team comes. Father, I come to you, Lord God, and I do just pray and ask, Father, that you would, Lord, allow this word to, Lord, penetrate deep inside of our hearts. I pray that you would soften our hearts, and I pray that you would open our eyes, Father, to be able to see, Lord, in our own life, if we have been seeking our own and not that which is Jesus Christ. If we have been so busy with our own fields, with our head down, focused on our own things, that we've not taken time to lift up our fields and look, or lift up our eyes and look into the fields and see that they are white into harvest. Lord God, help us to have that hope, Lord, that you promise that there's a great harvest. They just need more people to go out there and reap it. Lord, to go out there and labor. Lord, I pray that you'd make us a church that would go out and be diligent to share the gospel, to communicate the work that you've done into our life. Lord God, please work in ways that only you can. Lord God, move today. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary's more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the One who will trust in God, my Savior, the One who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the Author of tomorrow's ordered my steps. This is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the One who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. Sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I cried out, Lord, and He came, and He rescued me. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He delivered me. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I cried out, Lord, and He came, and He rescued me. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He delivered me. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the One who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the One who will never fail. He will never fail.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we got some work to do when we go home, don't we? You know, we got to get close to the Lord. We got to start praying and being real specific and saying, hey, we need to just stop attending on Sunday, and we need to start taking our faith out here on Monday. We need to be real Christians who go out and have eyes like Jesus to focus on what he is focused on. And praise the Lord, he focused on it enough to love you and me enough to come and save our souls. Let's have that same heart. And don't forget, we got small group tonight, and so you'll want to be here. But if you do need to talk with somebody, maybe you're in here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't know where you're going to go when you die. You know, you're not sure if heaven's your home. You know, you need to talk with somebody. You know, after the service, me and my wife would love to talk with you. Steve and Olive would love to talk with you. Travis and Megan would love to talk with you and share the gospel with you, or just pray with you. Just be somebody that can bear whatever burden you're walking through. And so with that said, I'm going to ask Travis if he would close us in prayer this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again just for allowing us to be here in your house this morning, Lord. Just thank you for this challenge of just going out, Lord, Lord, the labors are few, God, and just I know a lot of us, and me personally even, you know, struggle with giving the gospel, Lord, so I pray you would just convict each and every one of us just to be more purposeful and preaching, Lord, as the time's running out and your return is near, Lord. So just help us to be faithful, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love you guys. You were dismissed.